Hey folks, Zach Ostrom here, UN Sutter, Indianapolis Star. This is Mind Your Banners for April 24th, 2024. I'm talking really, really fast because the Merseyside Derby kicks off at 3 p.m. And we're going to try and fit this in before. he's Mike Isaac from the Bloomington Herald Times. We're going to do a little portal chat today, but before that, we want to wrap spring football season. Mike, the spring game was 6 days ago, more or less, from when we're talking. You know, spring games are spring games. You never want to draw too much from it. But I thought there were a lot of things that there were a lot of things that either based on what you could see on paper or what Kurt Cignetti would kind of let slip through the course of the spring season, I felt like I saw a lot of what I expected to see. Some improved quarterback play, some encouraging offensive line play, more depth at skill positions, and an offense that is a fair bit further along. Both, I don't want to say, schematically is tough to say because we haven't seen enough of practices to really know kind of what's been installed and worked on, but certainly depth wise with injury concerns and things like that, an offense that is a lot further along than the defense at this moment in time.
Well, yeah, I think you said the five players to watch were the entire offense. So you really, really went out on a limb there in your story the other day. Did you list every single offensive player?
No, I left
close to quarterbacks, running backs, offensive line, receivers.
No, the only full position groups I mentioned were
the multiple full position groups.
You know what? You ain't get out the podcast and I'll do it myself. How's that?
your five player limit. What was remarkable too is that they're all, with few exceptions, mostly on the offensive line, is players that weren't on the team last year. I mean, they've basically rebuilt this entire offense from the ground up. Now, after David Holloman entered the transfer portal yesterday, no returning running backs, no returning quarterbacks. Donovan McCauley is the only sort of receiver I sort of expect to be sort of in the rotation. I know Kobe, number zero, made some nice plays in the spring game. And Omar Cooper had some catches too, but I expect those guys will be more depth pieces. I think it's going to be all the transfers and McCauley. So when you kind of look at it, I think that sort of makes what we saw in the spring game all the more impressive, just because it's a group that basically, you know, I know there's some JMU transfers in there that played together, but really a lot of pieces that didn't. And they'll get some more offensive line depth sort of in the fall with Kidwell coming back. That'll make that offensive line even a little bit better. So, I think the offensive improvement they showed was encouraging. Just considering, you know, they didn't even take the full 15 practices, and this group hasn't been together very long. And that's sort of the first step, and that was encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, there was just, I don't know, it was kind of the little things for me. I mean, you mentioned Kobe and you know, he probably had the play of the night, either him or McCauley with the touchdown reception. But to me, what was encouraging was like the small stuff. I thought quarterbacks just kind of looked more confident, like, you know, that when they dropped back, they understood where the ball was going. I thought Curtis Rourke and Taven Jackson both delivered the ball with an authority that's not just about, you know, you see guys throw the ball hard and you think, oh, look at that arm strength. And I think sometimes people don't appreciate the extent to which there's, you know, that's also really a function of, you know, confidence and being confident in your reads and where the ball is going to go. So when you deliver the ball, there's no hesitancy. There's no sort of, you know, doubt, I guess. I thought the ground game obviously popped some big plays. But again, to me, what was more encouraging was the number of times that the running backs just pushed the line forward and a 1 yard gain became a 3 yard gain. I mean, how many times in the last two, three seasons, and I know you were only here for last year, but have we said, you know, Indiana on the ground just wasn't getting push. And so, you know,
those running backs converted four third and shorts, and Lawton, I think, had three of them. I think it was kind of clear that he's going to be kind of that third down guy, and it was third and two, third and one. And he got what he needed.
I'd be curious how many negative rushes, not counting sacks, that offense had, because it just felt like every time.
Give me a second.
Every time one of those guys went into the belly of the line, it went forward. Even if it was only 3 yards. I mean, 3 yards means second and seven. third and four, even to some extent fourth and one. I mean, 3 yards every snap gets you a first down.
Two negative carries on 29 attempts.
Okay, so like, I mean, again, just and some of that's offensive line play too, and you know, Kurt Cignetti was, you know, is about as probably about as sort of open in his praise as he was going to be about the offensive line, just saying he felt good about it. He'd seen some good things. You know, I think you could see maybe even some encouraging stuff from a few second teamers, Bray Lynch. I thought Austin Barrett had a couple nice moments, a couple others whose names are escaping me. Forgive me, but you also just felt like you had a blend of running backs there. All four of them transfers, Lawton, Black, Ellison, Green, who all felt like they were a little bit different. All felt like they could kind of get involved in the offense in slightly different ways. But anytime one of them touched the ball, it felt like Indiana gained yards. And too much in the last 2 to 3 years, Indiana's ground game just hasn't been able to do that. And again, it's not like the offense was without mistakes. There were a couple sacks. Obviously, Taven Jackson threw the interception. But it just felt like an offense that was just so much more confident in itself and so much more able to just sort of stay in rhythm and on schedule, whether it's first team or second team.
Yeah, and I think we should mention, I know Kurt Cignetti said it's an open quarterback competition, but I thought it was pretty telling that Taven didn't get any reps with the first advertisement, didn't get any reps with the first team offense. And it was telling that Kurt Cignetti basically said, well, Taven's success came at the expense of first year corners that, I think our second team defense was that bad, not our second team offense was that good. So I think even though he's saying it's an open co quarterback competition, I think it's pretty clear what direction this is going in. I thought Curtis Rourke's most productive, I mean, not most productive, best drive was obviously the last one where he sort of executed the two men in offense really brilliantly. Didn't make too many long throws, but he had one nice throw at the sideline to Surratt, but really used the whole field, was really effective sort of getting the ball to very different targets, used Zach Horton really well, the tight end, JMU transfer. So I thought it was a good day for him. I think the longest their sort of concern is they don't have sort of a speedster that can get deep, but I think Curtis Rourke does everything else well. And seeing sort of him sort of feel comfortable in that offense, I think was a big step forward. Considering I think that it's really his job to lose over the next couple of months in terms of, unless something drastic happens when he arrives for fall camp, he's going to be your starter.
Defensively, again, probably a decent amount of what we expected. We knew this defense was a little thinner. It will get deeper, it's worth saying. You know, I think probably three or four players that you would expect to be, if not starters, then key contributors in the front six, front seven, just depending on how Indiana lines that up. Set out spring because of off-season surgeries, which isn't uncommon, you know, and it's not. I mean, the only one of those that even, you know, I mean, I'm thinking of Jalen Walker, James Carpenter, Vincent Sneed, Lenell Carr, the only one of those that's not necessarily even kind of a proven commodity to the extent that you might have limited his reps anyway, just because he's a veteran player, is Sneed. The other three are kind of long proven, you know, college players and so forth. But clearly still a need for some depth in the secondary, some depth along the defensive line. I was a little bit surprised at some of the pressure that Indiana was able to generate in its pass rush, and it's hard to tell sometimes. Again, you don't know, you know, everybody's been going up against everybody else in spring, but it's a new offense, it's a new defense. So is that comfort level of like guys recognizing calls, you know, is that, you know, maybe is that as much of a factor as it might be if things were a little bit more settled? You know, was Bryant Haynes trying to be a little bit more creative, knowing that he was going to have to take some chances to create pressure, one way or the other? You know, one of the
Well,
big talks.
also part of the game plan, Kurt Cignetti came in. I mean, defense knew that they were going to pass 65% of the time. So
Yeah.
do you try to be a little more aggressive just to get some looks at things?
But it is worth saying, you know, one of the big talking points around Bryant Haynes' defenses at JMU the last couple seasons was havoc plays, you know, and just how good they were at generating pressure. I think they led the Sun Belt in tackles for loss and sacks last year, if I'm not mistaken. And that wasn't just because they had, you know, one absolute stud. They had three, four different players that kind of got mixed up and you know, could make a lot of plays, cause a lot of trouble. And they bring, Haynes, Pat Kuntz. It's worth saying Aiden Fisher, who, Cignetti kind of, I think, the line of the night on probably the defensive side was Cignetti saying that Brian Haynes probably sleeps better at night knowing Aiden Fisher is at linebacker kind of running his defense. The point is that is somewhat the sort of calling card or reputation of Brian Haynes' defense is coming out of JMU over to Indiana. We'll see if it was, if this is representative of something, longer term, or if it was just kind of confined to, as you said, maybe knowing the scheme a little better, obviously knowing the game plan a little bit more. But it was interesting on a night when maybe you didn't expect too much from the defense for a variety of reasons to at least see that.
But I don't think we should paper over the depth concerns because I mean, even though
We've
they're getting
talked about
guys
him a
back,
lot, to be fair.
even though those guys are coming back, I think they're okay at linebacker. Especially, I don't know if you noticed, Isaiah Jones played a real, he spent the whole entire game with the second team defense, played really well. Was a guy that we didn't get to sort of ask Cignetti about, but I thought played well. I think linebacker they're okay, but man, the secondary after you get away from that first group. Especially like corner, and then defensive tackle. I don't think I've seen a roster with less defensive
Do you
scholars.
not think that they were deeper at corner than I expected? I mean, because you had what, Jameer Johnson, you had Jamari Sharp,
Jojo Johnson didn't play, I guess.
and then
He
Kobe
was
Minor,
drafted.
who had some nice moments last year. I mean, I
Minor, I
guess
thought, was the best corner,
my
but.
thought process at corner is they were a little deeper than I thought, but then it sort of occurs, would you move Nick Toomer to safety, which they did, when you already had Sanguinetti plus the two ODU transfers? If you weren't comfortable with your depth at corner, why would you take your most experienced corner and move him to safety if you weren't comfortable with your depth at corner? And then I saw them at corner and I thought, okay, that doesn't look terrible. They weren't great, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't nearly to the same level as that defensive line where along the defensive line it was like, man, they need
Well, they
bodies
need
all
like one. I think they could use one corner basically to sort of bulk up that depth because you want to be too deep at both sides. And you saw what happened with Taven Jackson. He picked on some inexperienced guys, and so that's where that. But defensive tackle is like red light flashing. Like they have no bodies, and you really do need more there. Even walk-ons. They've lost a bunch. I mean, Carl Biddings, who didn't play much and hasn't had all that remarkable career, he enters the transfer portal, and so you just don't have much of any. I mean, like no depth at defensive tackle. And they run a front with four defensive linemen. Maybe they have some guys that they feel like are capable of rotating inside. Like and can Lenell Carr kind of do both? But I still think that right now they do not have a rot they don't have a legitimate college rotation at defensive tackle.
And it's worth saying Kurt Cignetti has been pretty open about the fact that Indiana is going to be active in the portal. I think there have been a handful of reported visitors already kind of preparing to come through. And as we all kind of expected, this should be a busier. I think I saw something that like we're already up almost like 2 to 1 year on year in
How
terms of
many players?
guys are in the portal with this spring season. Because of the two-time transfer rule, or the excuse me, the multi-time transfer rule, and the fact that you can just kind of move as you want. And I mean, listen, the flip side is, you mentioned some guys already outgoing there. Indiana can also get hit with it the other way, where Indiana can't sit around and say, "Oh, the roster's settled. Now we just need to add." They got to make sure they hold on to what they have.
So far, they have. I mean, they've. If we the numbers, 10 have entered the portal during spring practice. Most of them in the spring window. A couple left earlier, but 10 so far. Mostly the guys you kind of names you expected that were lower down on sort of the how things evolved on the depth chart. I mentioned Holloman. Trent Holland was obviously one, and so some depth pieces. Based because of the and I think what they did in the winter portal was they weighted everything on the offensive side really numbers wise, and so now they really do need to pick up to sort of balance things out on the roster, add some defensive pieces just to even out those numbers. Because I mean they opened spring. Camp, I think, with like 15, 16 offensive linemen, like a ridiculous number. They had like eight running backs. And so those numbers have kind of come down, but I don't think they need to worry about replenishing them as much as sort of until next cycle is worrying about, like I said, the defensive numbers to sort of balance this roster out. Because they really hit, like you said, the skill positions. adding like eight guys, running back between running back and receiver. And so it'll be interesting to see what they can land, what the kind of competition is for, like Philip Bleedy was a guy that left at defensive tackle who they could really use. I mean, his interest level, I don't know if you saw the teams he was visiting, basically toured the SEC. So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of competition for the guys at positions they're looking for, I think. And so that'll make it tougher
There's nobody
to
in America
land
that's not
right
looking for
there.
speed or line help ever. There's not a college football team in America that could not use more speed and could not use more depth along either side of the line. Like that's just, that's kind of how you win games in modern football.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean it's going to be tough. What is interesting is I do think Indiana has, I don't know exact numbers, but I do think Indiana has improved its NIL situation, even from where it was when kind of it secured some of those, some of those guarantees to get its annual number over 3 million for football when it was going through the process of hiring, the coach who turned out to be Kurt Cignetti in terms of trying to put more NIL resources in and make the job more appealing to candidates. My understanding is, and again, I don't know an exact number, but I think Indiana has improved significantly on even that. And so if you're kind of in a situation where, maybe a lot of that initial money that Cignetti was working with, a lot of those resources, kind of got poured into the winter portal window. I think, and again, it doesn't, it's not like it, money just goes in and comes straight back out. Like all this stuff has to kind of be organized in a certain way and marshaled a certain way. And everybody's still kind of figuring out like how to make NIL work, efficiently and effectively. But I don't necessarily think Indiana's in a position where basically all the NIL resources are accounted for and they're kind of, searching under the couch cushions for enough to kind of move through the. That doesn't mean that they're carrying big fat checks into the spring portal window, but I think they could at least be competitive for some players that, they might want and look at. And yeah, I mean, to me, at least, I don't know, two impact defensive tackles. I mean, when I say impact, like, you don't necessarily have to start, but you have to feel like they're
Guys on
guys
the
that,
2D, that guys that are going to be on the 2D. Yeah.
guys that are in the rotation in Big Ten play. But I think it is fair to say, as we expected, Indiana is probably going to have to win some shootouts this year. And that's, listen, that's, there's nothing wrong with that if you can do it and the offense looks potentially capable. We'll see where the defense comes along. Any other spring football thoughts before we chat just a little bit of hoops portal and then move to the end?
What are your questions coming out of spring? I mean, other than the, I mean, we've talked about the defensive depth, but
I mean,
just in general.
that's probably the biggest one is defensive depth. And then, you bring up kind of the idea of stretching the field, taking the top off of the defense. I mean, I think you're never going to see this in a spring game, but you have two receivers there. And I know that, Kurt Cignetti, kind of had some pointed words for Donovan McCulley with us, during the spring season. It's also kind of worth saying, at least the way I took it in his comments after the spring game, it kind of sounded like he was sort of trying to light a fire under McCulley in the sense that he knew McCulley could be one of his best players. And he said, what did he say? He said, like, I don't do that often. I did it with our quarterback last year, kind of mid-season, and got him going. It you don't do that with players where you don't think, I mean, A, where you don't think it'll work, but also B, where like the if you're not going to play that card often, you don't play it where you don't think the rate of return on basically the investment of your sort of public semi-criticism is pretty high. You don't do it with a player that you don't think is going to take that and go up a real level. You've got that, you got him, and then you got Elijah. We ever figured, is it Sarrett or Surratt?
I think it's Surratt, but I don't know. I'm terrible
Okay,
with
so
names, so I mean, it's probably the
we need to
opposite.
figure it out. But one way or the other, the JMU transfer, who was all Sun Belt, 1,000-yard receiver a season ago, you got two guys there that I think have the capacity to be all Big Ten receivers. Are they the fastest in the world? No, but they are the kinds of players that if you put them in one-on-one situations, they should be able to fairly consistently match up with corners, get downfield, and win, jump balls, high points, back shoulder, that kind of stuff, get you chunk plays. You're never going to see a ton of that in a spring game. Like that, you're just not, A, you don't want to put a lot of them film. B, you're rotating a lot of bodies and moving quickly. And I mean, Indiana only played 30 minutes of timed football, which isn't a lot, even for a spring game. So just like, are one or both of those guys prepared to be the player that stretches defenses vertically? Because I think you've got potentially two quarterbacks there that can make the most of that with, even more time in this offense. Can you get to a place where you, as an offense, can A, set those sorts of plays up, and B, take advantage of them while they're there? Because I think that, we talked so much about Indiana earlier not being able to stay on schedule offensively, the ground game not moving things forward, not getting into second and manageable, third and short, that kind of stuff. But the other part of this is, sometimes you have just got to be able to take the top off a defense. And if Indiana's not going to do that with speed, it's got to do it with strength and size. It's got two guys who on paper look like they might be able to do that. Can either of them translate it?
Well, yeah, in the Illinois game for McCulley, I mean, a lot of the plays ended up being pass interference was an example of him being able to do that. And he's got I mean, probably he's got the best physical skill set, physical traits out of anybody on the team, just in terms of sort of upside. So I think he did say, Cignetti, like, he wants to be an All-American type player. And so that's kind of what went into the motivation. Any of Cignetti's sort of his first sort of month jump out at you, what his sort of approach to things was?
No, I mean, I was amused at the one time he walked over to the referee and basically said, "Call that grounding."
Yeah, that was good.
When like it was clearly not grounding. Curtis Rourke was about as far from the pocket, as far from the tackle box as he could be without stepping out of bounds. But I mean, in general, like, I mean, it was kind of interesting to me that he just kind of observed, like he just stood off to one side. He wasn't calling plays. I couldn't even tell if he had a headset on. He probably did, but like he very much kind of let his staff, it seemed like, manage a lot of that, and then he just, sort of affected scenarios here and there. But like, I mean, he seemed, A, again, he seemed to just want to sort of be an observer to a lot of it. And B, I mean, he sounded a little more encouraged, I thought. I mean, he said like we got a long way to go, but he also seemed, he seemed about as pleased as he'd probably ever admit he was with the progress they got, that they got out of the spring. And a lot of times when you get a first year coach, they come in, they do a lot of talking about culture. There's a lot of like, I'm never going to be satisfied, I'm constantly moving the bar. To hear him, whether it's through spring practice or certainly after the spring game, kind of say like, yeah, there's some things I really liked. I mean, that told me that there is actually some stuff that's kind of struck a chord for him so far.
Yeah, he's not set like clear benchmarks, but it's clear that they're ahead of the place where he wanted them to be. And it's been kind of like that at every stage where he said, they did better in the transfer portal than he sort of thought they would be able to be with kind of the timing and the situation that he was stepping into. Winter workouts went well, and now spring has gone well. So, can they? The only time he was mad was the Eclipse holiday. I mean, it sounded like the Eclipse really kind of threw him a spanner into the works, but they got past that. And he's been sort of pleased ever since. I'd love to hear him be more expansive on sort of the development of the quarterbacks just because of his sort of acumen and, success. I think it'd be really instructive to hear him sort of take a deep dive into that. And I know why he doesn't want to and why he won't. From that's the only part that I would have loved to see kind of, more sort of insight from him onto that quarterback, but I'll just because of his past, and we didn't get to talk to coordinators or Tino Cinsari, the quarterback's coach, just because Taven did look good, and Curtis Rourke has had success. Just where his game, where his neat game needed to go. I'd be interested to learn more from Kurt just about what he thought about that. But definitely sort of an interesting spring, and fans seem. I mean, it carried over the momentum. I think this coaching staff had to sort of start out with that they're still building, and there is a general level of excitement here. I don't would you say it's comparable to after the success they had a couple of years ago, or what would you kind of say the fan base's sort of mindset is right now?
Well, we never saw a spring game after those
No,
seasons.
just in terms of like this time of
Well, I no,
year.
I mean, I don't think it's easy to compare. I mean, because it's a different, I mean, number one, the fan base is coming to it from a very different place. They went to two bowls under Kevin Wilson. Then they had 2 years out of the bowl field under Tom Allen. And there was sort of this feeling of like, oh, what if we made the wrong decision here? What if Allen's not the right guy? And then there was 19 and 20, but we never had Indiana had a spring game in 19. Then they had the season in 19. Spring season got canceled in 20. They couldn't have one in 21, at least not one open to the public, if memory serves. And then by 20, in 22, Allen didn't want to have one because he changed the roster so much that he didn't want to put anything on tape. And then in 23, I think, quite frankly, they felt like there wasn't really room to have one in terms of like fan interest and whether or not people would show up. And so, it's kind of hard to gauge. And forgive me, I do not remember the 2011 spring game. Like that was,
that should be etched in your memory.
No, that was not the one where Wilson showed up wearing, he'd had someone make him, they had like these IU pullovers that were like either red with like a white stripe or white with a red stripe. And he had Adidas make him one that was half and half because they were, they split the teams in two, and he walked out. And he did the thing where, like, you jump up and you, like, click your heels together midair. And there's, like, a great photo of him wearing that, like, walking out of the tunnel, like, just, yeah. I think that was either 12.
Like, or Lord of the Dance? What was he doing with the – was that, like, a – where did he bust that move out from?
I don't know. Go ask him. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? Let's talk about – just quickly about basketball. They added, I think since we talked, they added Kanan Carlisle, the transfer from Stanford. They are hosting Luke Goody, the sort of sharpshooting guard wing from Fort Wayne, who's played the last three seasons at Illinois, later this week. I know there have been some crystal ball type predictions for him to Indiana. Obviously, it would make a lot of sense. He would fill a pretty clear need, and I think there's a lot of family ties to IU. It is interesting, we've talked, I guess, so much like theoretically or whatever about what Indiana needed in the portal. It's starting to feel like it's slowing down a little bit, and let's live in a world where, for example, Luke Goody does commit this week or this weekend or sometime after his visit. You'll have two scholarships open if you're Indiana. And more than that, you'll kind of be in a place where, it's going to get a little harder to fill them, frankly. I mean, the upshot of really emphasizing portal recruiting is pretty obvious. It's that you're looking for guys that can come in and make an immediate impact, that have proven college experience and all these different things. The flip side is not a lot of people go into the portal looking to play off the bench, and not a lot of people go into the portal looking to be the eighth or ninth or even, 10th player kind of in the rotation. So Indiana has kind of filled a lot of needs already. Obviously Luke Goody would fill another one. And then it does feel like things would maybe slow down a little bit. And Indiana would maybe take its time a little bit more and probably need to be a little bit more subjective, or not subjective, selective. That's the term I was looking for, in kind of where it goes from here.
Well, yeah. Cause I mean, I think the first thing you offer is playing time. I mean, after NIL money. And so when you have no playing time, it's going to be tough. And I think that's part of the problem with having so many open scholarships and not being able to kind of fill them with any high school players, is you can't fill them with any kind of long-term prospects, guys that would be willing to sit, even though kids out of high school are less willing to do that now than ever. But Indiana's going to run into that problem where, there's a lot of teams still with, 25 minutes to offer. And Indiana just doesn't have that right now. I mean, you're going to be a rotational piece at best. I mean, Good would probably be the last player that they add that would, probably get a significant amount of playing time. So I think that is part of the problem, just with leaving, having so many open scholarships to try to fill and having to do it with transfers. You're just, it's going to be a struggle. I mean, realistically, can you leave two open? I mean, what do you think the,
number I think one? I think you need one backup big that you'd feel comfortable playing at the four or the five, probably not extended minutes, but like in a pinch, if somebody's injured or in foul trouble, or
you're saying
something.
good and then one more backup big and
Goody,
be
Luke Goody. His last name's Goody.
Goody. Yeah, good.
Again, we're living in a world where, you know, some of these predictions, and if these predictions don't come true, then Indiana's got to go find, you know, kind of a proven shooter somewhere else. I think that need still exists, even if you believe, and I think probably with some justification, that there are guys on, you know, kind of incoming in this roster, like Cannon Carlisle, for example, who can shoot the ball a little bit better than they did a year ago. I think you need somebody that you just look at and say, he's going to make 40% of his threes. You know, we have all the faith in the world that he's just going to be that kind of 3-point shooter. So whether it's Luke Goody or someone else, you need that. And then I think from there, you need somebody who can just give you some minutes at the 4-5, and they can be a little bit change of pace if you want. They don't have to be a Balo clone or a Renu clone or whatever, but just someone that can kind of fill those spots. What's interesting to me is I would be surprised if Indiana took two, and it does seem like Indiana's kind of getting to a place where it is, as a sort of a function of its roster, going to commit to playing more small ball. Like, I think that, I mean, you know, let's imagine Indiana does get Luke Goody. Indiana does add one, you know, sort of, again, like reserve big that you would feel comfortable just saying can spell Renu and Balo. Well, you're probably going to spend a lot more time with McKenzie Mbaku at the four than with that guy on the floor with Balo or Renu, just by virtue of talent and minutes and where your offense is coming from. I don't think Indiana would start games that way, but I do think Indiana would be more likely to field more of those lineups, especially if you had Goody or someone else like him and Bryson Tucker. So you have someone you can comfortably slide into the three. If you want to stay a little bigger, you can obviously go with three guard rotations, or you can have a slightly, you know, sort of more guard wing type player at the three, and Mbaku goes to the four, and then whether you're playing Balo or Renu at the five, the point is you're playing a much more sort of stretched out lineup offensively than what we saw Indiana use through the course of a lot of last season. And I think that's, you know, kind of an interesting development.
Yeah, I wonder in terms of the scholarship numbers, is that going to be a trend where teams struggle to sort of fill out that one to three spots just because, especially teams at this level where you want to compete every year, that you just run up, you're just not going to be able to convince the guys to are you watching TV right now? Is that what
Yeah, the
you're
game's on up here. I told you.
watching reruns of Rockford Files or something?
No, it's the Liverpool game.
And so, will that be a trend where teams just struggle to fill out sort of the bottom of the roster because guys, they want more money and more playing time?
No, and I mean, this is where I think, you know, you're talking about that balance of, you know, essentially, I guess what you're looking for is the balance of high school and you know, transfer portal or whatever. You have got to strike a
You
little
can't
bit.
go zero in high school up
Yeah, you've
until
got to strike a
yeah.
little bit better balance than what Indiana has the last, you know, kind of couple of years. Now, the flip side is, you know, there's an extent to which, you know, that's always going to be a little bit out of your hands. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes guys just want to leave. Sometimes guys just won't stick around long enough to be, you know, the sort of like foundational pieces or whatever you want to say that will stick, you know, will ride out for a
Like an
couple more
Anthony Leal
years.
type, where they stay for a
Develop.
while and willing to become a
Yeah.
force.
Yeah. Or Trey Galloway is probably an even better
Yeah.
example of somebody who played, you know, kind of his role has escalated each of the last 4 years. But yeah, you would like a little bit more of that, frankly. And I think that that's why you see maybe Indiana really starting to emphasize as well kind of where this 2025 group, you know, Mike Woodson and his whole staff, kind of, you know, Mullen, Sisley, I think Harrelson as well, they visited them all this week. And there's maybe a little bit of emphasis of saying, you know, let's not be so portal dominant so much of the time, essentially.
And Since you've checked out, do you want to just end here?
Well, I know we can keep going if you've got things to say, but we only have 4 minutes left on the
Mostly
hour.
that I pulled up some highlights of this 2011 spring game, and it looks like DeMarlo Belcher made some big plays.
He was kicked off the team midseason and unfortunately is no longer with us. So let's leave DeMarlo.
I don't know his history. I'm just saying what the highlight showed, and a quarterback competition between Edward Wright Baker and Trey Roberson and Dusty King.
Dusty, yeah, it wound up being it. Well, it was supposed to be between Dusty and Ed, or as Indiana's co-offensive coordinator Rod Smith called him, Ed Wright. His last name was Wright Baker, and Rod called him Ed Wright, which was just fantastic.
On purpose or just by
No,
mistake?
like that was what he meant to call him. He meant to call him Ed Wright. But it actually wound up being Trey Roberson's job kind of midway through the season. Neither of the experienced guys ever really kind of grabbed hold of it. And Roberson had some decent moments for being a freshman who was probably too small and inexperienced to play as much as he did. But he was a really encouraging player. And then obviously the next year he starts the season really well and then breaks his leg in the first game. And that kind of winds up setting the course for the rest of the season. So Indiana football has a long and sordid history with unfortunate quarterback injuries. And that's why you should be encouraged with the way I thought Taven Jackson played in the spring game, just to circle that all the way around back around to the beginning, because there have been very few seasons in the last few years when Indiana's not needed more than one. So we'll leave it there. He's Mike Nislick. I'm Zach Gosterman for the Bloomington Herald Times, the Indianapolis Star. This has been Mind Your Banners for April 24th, 2024. We'll probably be back, I would guess, next week. But between now and then, for I guess both of those newspapers. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
I guess.